This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, hi there, everyone, and thank you so much, Parker. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. The blues is either making music or enjoying music or both. But to make music, one needs instruments. And once in a while, I get to meet someone who's involved in that very special art. Today's guest is such a gent, and his passion started way back at the age of just 5. But it was a summer's evening stroll past the legendary Slippery Noodle in downtown Indianapolis that would ultimately change his life. A logo was drawn and the paperwork filed on January 3rd, 1996, and Bushman Harmonicas was born. Fast forward 30 years, and the Bushman brand just keeps on a steady path of growth in that genre that truly appreciates quality harmonicas. Ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Bushman Music, John Hall. John, welcome to Time Signatures.
Man, thanks, Jim. That might have been the best introduction I've ever heard about our company. Anyway, that was great.
Good job. Well, thank you, sir. I try to do my homework.
So I like that,
John. We have to go back and talk about those early days, man. Where did your appreciation for music begin?
Well, that was my family. My dad was an outstanding singer and had a perfect pitch. And I would try to follow him on harmony sometimes when we'd sing on the family as a family, and he'd say, "Stick to the melody, Johnny, stick to the melody." And my grandma was wonderful. His mom was a wonderful singer and guitar player. One of the best guitar players I ever heard was my own grandma. It was unbelievable. She would do these pick and runs, bum, 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 bum. So she would never change a chord without pick and run into it, you know?
Wow.
So that was great. And I just fell in love with music, just being around a musical family. And I started, so I have a grandpa on my mom's side who was kind of a hobo that just would play harmonica in blues bars all over the country. And he'd steal away on trains, just like the cliche blues hobo guy. And he stopped one time coming through town, and his suitcase was on his bed in there, opened up. And, of course, he had the Hohner Marine Band harmonica in there. And I grabbed that and played it. And he was not happy. He's like, "That's yours now." Of course, he made me think he's upset, but he was cool about it and then gave it to me. And so at 5 years old, I had a Hohner Marine Band from my grandpa. And right away, I figured out, with the help of my dad saying, "Here's the note, there's the note," figured out Mary Had a Little Lamb. My dad couldn't play harmonica, but he could hear when it's a right note and a wrong note. So he would say, "Well, go up there, go down there." So I had immediate success with the harmonica, and I learned all the songs. By 7, they had me up there playing at church, in front of church.
Wow.
By 11, I entered a talent contest, a local talent contest in Three Rivers, Michigan, and I was going to win. I thought I was going to win, but an 8-year-old redheaded girl playing Beethoven, there's no way I can compete with that. So I got second. But so I had a lot of early fun and success. And as a child, you know, playing harmonica was a great experience for me, you know. But what happened at 11 is I started realizing when you play a harmonica, and you go like on Amazing Grace, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the," that word, that note is not on a harmonica.
Okay.
It's not there. And so I started seeing the limitations of the instrument, and it really discouraged me. And I kind of laid off of it there in my teens and into my early 20s. And it wasn't until that experience walking by the Noodle where I heard blues. I don't know how. I grew up in music and I loved everybody, Karen Carpenter to Led Zeppelin. My favorite band of
Sure.
all time is Led Zeppelin. And somehow I didn't put the two to that. I don't know how I did this, but I didn't put the fact that Led Zeppelin is blues. That is blues. And, you know, it's just high-powered blues, but that is blues. And so somehow hearing a harmonica player at the Slippery Noodle, a wonderful guy named Paul Orta, who's no longer with us, that all of a sudden I said, well, he just gets the note that he needs by bending. He's where, how's he getting that note on there? I didn't realize that you can bend to get a note until until then, when I heard him doing it. I said, oh, well, those notes aren't, how's he doing that? Those notes aren't on the harmonica. And then all of a sudden that's when I figured out, and that by that time I was almost 30 years old. 26 years old then when I heard that. And then that opened up my world. That put me back in love with the harmonica. Well, now I see what they're doing. Now you can bend notes. And so I got crazy with it and playing, and I formed the Blues Fest, you know, the Bean Blossom Blues Fest. And then I got to work with so many incredible harmonica players, guys that you know now, you know.
Sure.
And got so into the music and the that surrounds harmonica. And so that's like you rightly said in 96. Here's what happened, just to let you know. I was in the business of making saddles for riding horses from 1986 to 1996. And so
Okay.
we made the saddles for the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell. I made
Sure.
saddles for the Lonesome Dove miniseries. In fact, Lonesome Dove with Robert
Wow.
Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones. We
Yeah.
made my company made most of the leather goods there for the chaps, the gun leather, you know, all the holsters, everything we made, my company made, called Pullman Saddle Company. Well, in 95, I did a promotion in the saddle company. If you buy a saddle, we'll give you a free harmonica, and we would sew a leather pouch on the back of the saddle and put a harmonica in it. Well,
Wow.
right away, people would call the same thing over and over. Hey, I love my saddle, but can I get more of those harmonicas? We handed those out on trail rides, and everybody loved that. And I'd say, oh, sure. And I'd have guys calling and getting 30 harmonicas at a time. And that is when I realized literally that I'm in the wrong business. I was
Well,
in the,
I'm
yeah,
gonna stop you for just
I'm
a minute.
done.
If you can bring your camera down just a little bit, you cut the bottom of your face off. There you go.
Oh,
That's
okay.
good. That's
Yeah.
good.
I'm not experienced at this stuff, you
No,
know?
you're okay. But I want to discuss that night. I'm gonna take you back just a little bit. And before we do, I want to tell you, I had a cheap set of harmonicas here at the house. I still do. I've got a partial set now because I have a 2.5-year-old grandson named Preston Joseph. And PJ comes over with his dad once in a while, and I was sitting here and I had a harmonica on my desk, and I picked it up because I'm learning it with Bob Kortor, and I picked it up and I blew a little couple of notes on it, and oh, his eyes just lit right up, and I said, "Oh, would you like one of these?" So he's like, "Yeah," and I
Of course.
went and I got my cheap set, and I grabbed the C out of it and I gave it to him and told him low on the left, you know, start low on the left, and you know, taught him how to hold it, of course, with his little hands, you know. But I can see how your grandfather doing that for you when you were a child had a big impression.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about the Slippery Noodle because the Slippery Noodle had been on my bucket list for quite a while. I've only been involved in the blues full on for about the last 5 years. I finally got to go to the Slippery Noodle 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks
Oh,
ago,
man.
just
Yeah,
before
cool.
the Final Four. Okay, the week before the Final Four.
Yeah.
And we went down to see Taz Crew play down there. When you walked by, and it's kind of cool because I was envisioning your story, were you just happened to be out for a walk that evening? You just for a stroll?
Yeah, I was bar hopping
Okay, all
and
right.
had no intention actually of going in. I wasn't going to the Noodle. I didn't. I was walking to the Whistle Stop, a bar
Okay.
around the corner,
Okay.
and I didn't know what the noodle was. The noodle became my favorite bar. You know,
I'll
that was
bet.
it. The minute I heard that music, I went in, and that became the mecca of and the previous owner, Hal Yagi. Hal is a gem for Indiana. He passed away, but
Yes, sir.
he was so important to the music scene in Indiana because he would bring those blues guys in there, and I mean the best of the best play there. So it even if it's somebody as big as Hooker, he had names that big in there, and he did more for the music than people ever give him credit. The Noodle is more influential than anyone ever gives him credit for. That, and well, let me tell you one more thing about the Noodle. Hal, it was a very stoic person and wasn't all like a cheerleader like me. I'm all like got my pom-poms out and I get all excited about he would just sit there and have this deadpan look on his face, but he was passionate about the music. And when I came to him and I said, "Hey, I'm starting this blues festival," and no one, I'm going to tell you what, no one supported me. I except Hal Yagi. Hal said, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "Really,
Wow.
I just need money to pay some of the bands. I need help paying the bands." He said, "Well, pick out a band and that you want me, you know, one that's costing you some money, and I'll help you." And that's exactly what he did every year. He helped me pay for whichever band, and then I helped. That became a real reciprocal relationship as we got big. When the
Sure.
fest got big, and I didn't really need that help anymore. What he did, he still helped me, but what we did is I would re hire a band and say, "Look," and I'd use this as negotiating for me to get a better price, but also for Hal to get a better price. Is we I'll say, "I'll book you on Friday night, then you can play up at the Noodle on Saturday night." And so
Beautiful.
the band would get two gigs out of one. And so they would give us both a little bit lesser price because they're being able to go one night to the next, you know. And that as opposed to driving all the way to Indiana just to do one gig. So he and I
Right.
did that for 15 years together, where we're sitting here buying bands cheaper than our competition by sharing them. And you know, he says every other festival won't do that with him because they're afraid that the festival, who would go to the festival if they can just go to see the band at the Noodle? Why would
Right.
somebody
Yeah.
go? Well, yeah, but the answer to that is we're offering many bands. That's just one band, you know, or two bands. We're
Right.
offering many. Plus, there's something different about seeing a festival in the woods versus a bar scene. There's a difference. And
Yes.
I said, "Hal, I'm never going to be threatened by that. I love if you do well, I love it." And Hal looked right at me and said, "Ditto. If you do well, I love it."
That's
So
cool.
we both worked 15 years together that way, and I really miss him. And he's somebody that I feel like has not gotten the credit for all that he did for blues that he deserves.
You know, you were sitting here talking about the history of the Slippery Noodle, and my knowledge of the history of that bar is limited. I know it's the oldest bar in Indiana that's operated in the same building since 1850. But as I was reading the book by Paul Berry called Blowin' Like Hell, it was about William Clark. And that's when William Clark had his biggest health scare and
That's
ended up
right.
in the hospital, was right outside the Slippery Noodle that night. And in addition to that, there's so many other great pieces of history related to the noodle.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, I think that it's a really cool place. I was in the upper loft, I was down below, I was up front. I bought some stuff because I wanted to make that visit count, because it was really, like I said, it was a bucket list thing for me. But about 6 years after that night in Indianapolis, you drew up the logo for Bushman on a paper towel. Do you still have it? Do you have it framed somewhere?
I should have kept that. As soon as the guy, I took it to a graphic artist who took it, you know, and made it better than the version I drew. I threw it away and just used the paper he gave me.
Oh, no.
I know.
I'll bet you wish you'd kept it now,
Yeah,
right?
I do. I do. That is true. But yeah, I wanted to tell you too, Jim, about the I love that picture of John Lee Hooker that you have behind you. I have such a love for everything about him too. So you're talking about these are heroes in my life: Hal Yagi, John Lee
Yes, sir.
Hooker. But Hooker, well, he had timing. He had that rich voice. When he would lean over to the microphone, they'd have that wooden folding chair that they'd bring out on stage, and he'd lean over and he'd just go a boom, 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 boom. Oh, you know how that's like thunder, right?
Oh,
It's like
yeah.
thunder. Yeah. And so I fell in love with his music. And so a lady called one time in 1999 or 2000, somewhere right in there, and said, "Hey, I need to order these special 20." It was a harmonica, and I said, "And we have that." And we used to sell Hohner when I
Okay.
started out. I sold all the brands. I said, "But listen, we have the Hohner, but I've got my own brand called Bushman, and I'd love for you to try that. And it's the same price. But it gives you some." Well, she said, "I'll tell you what." She said, "Here's what the deal is. I'm John Lee Hooker's girlfriend,
Oh,
and
man.
he asked me to get him some special 20s. He didn't know about your brand." And I said, "Yeah, he wouldn't know about us yet. You know, we're kind of new. But he's my favorite in the whole world. Can I ask you a special favor?" And she said, "Sure." So she bought four of the special 20s. I said, "I'm going to include one of my Bushman Soul's Voices in there. It's an all black harmonica with a gold logo that says Soul's Voice. And could you give him that as a gift from me and tell him this is from a very big fan and I love his music?" And she said, "Sure." Well, I forgot all about it. I forgot about doing that and everything. A week later, and I rushed him right out to her. A week later, it's 10:30 at night. I happen to be in my office and the phone rings. Normally, I try to not answer calls after hours because it
Sure.
creates bad habits, right? Where people will call you anytime, 24. But for whatever reason, before with being not thinking about it, I picked up the phone. And this real strong stutter came through the phone and said,
Oh,
"Did
man.
this be John? This be John Hall?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, I know who this is!" And it's I said, "Yeah, this is John Hall." And he said, "Oh, did this be John Lee Hooker? John Lee Hooker?" And I'm like, "Oh my God!" I turned immediately into a 12 or 13-year-old girl. I'm just like, at
Wow.
an Elvis concert, you know,
Man.
anyhow, he said, I really appreciate your harmonica. I like it very much. I play it, and it's very nice. And I just want to tell you thank you, and keep on boogieing."
Wow.
I almost passed out, and so I just was such a fan of him, you know, and
Yeah, that photo was taken by a very good an excellent musician photographer from the Metro Detroit area called Ken Settle. And I purchased several photos from him. We lost him not long ago. He's just a young guy. He was in his I want to say late 50s and passed away suddenly, but the body of his work, I've got a couple that you can't see right now because they're in my room stored. I rotate my photos on my wall, okay? And I've got a photo from B.B. King's last visit to Michigan. I've got a really nice one that he took and actually signed those two photos for me. But John Lee was one of my favorites because he's a Michigan guy, first of all. Now I got to get back here because I've got so many stories that I know that you're going to want to share. One of the things that I was noticing when I was reading about the history of your process and your journey with this business is the Bean Blossom Blues Fest was a critical piece of your history because you stated that you learned a great deal from those musicians who played there over the course of that 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I knew the problems that they had with harmonicas holding up. I
Sure.
had James Cotton, he came to play with us in 2005. When he would play a harmonica, sometimes he would actually suck the reed out of the harmonica and just spit it. It was unbelievable. I didn't
Wow.
know that was even possible, you know, but he was aggressive on them. But what I learned is just what they're looking for, what they need in a harmonica. They and the durability, there was a real problem I saw right away with the durability of harmonicas being able to hold up through gigging, you know, nightly gigging. It's just hard on a harmonica, and so it really piqued my interest in how could we do something better, and is there a way we could work with the factories to get a better reed material that would be more resilient? And I went kind of down that. I was an early pioneer and advocate of phosphor bronze reeds. Phosphor
Okay.
bronze just is real resilient, and that's all we've used since 2003. Let's say 2004. We still had Germany making some harmonicas through 2004. That were using brass. But for the most part, since 2003, with our Delta Frost, we strictly use phosphor bronze reeds. And then since 2004, that's all we use. And I felt
So
like that was going to hold up longer. Yeah.
Was that the biggest design flaw that you saw in the soul's voice? Is that why you discontinued those and went to the Delta
No,
Frost?
no, I didn't discontinue the soul's voice over a quality issue.
Okay.
That factory, that's an incredible story that I don't know if I'm allowed to tell. I've never told it in public. But
Well, I'm going to leave that to you. If you don't want to share, don't worry about
it is a fact. You talk about a fascinating story. This could, if harmonica players see this podcast, this would be a big story.
It's up to
But
you, man. They do watch. We do get harmonica players like Bob Corator and others that do
Well,
watch.
so it's this simple. When Seidel was supplying my soul's voice since 1999,
Okay.
and Seidel was having problems, financial problems, and it got to the point where I didn't trust. I would send my money, and they wouldn't send the shipment of
Oh
harmonicas.
boy.
And then it would take, you know, like a month after they've gotten my money. Well, that's really hard on our cash flow. It's hard on our business. It puts us promising customers harmonicas and then having to let them down. And it was very frustrating. So I came up with a great solution. I flew over there into the town of Klingenthal, where they're still at today.
Okay.
And I went into the biggest bank in town there, the Sparkasse Bank. And the young manager was a 24, I think he's 24 years old, manager named Lars Seifert. And I met him, and he and I became instant friends. He was a soccer player when he wasn't banking. And I went to his soccer games, and we did all kind. We went to Oktoberfest together. We became real good friends, and I trusted him explicitly. And I said,
Yes,
here's
sir.
what we're gonna do is I'm gonna wire the money. It'll be in my I'm gonna open my own account here at your bank, and I will put the money in my account. And when you go to the factory, and because he knew the factory, he had uncles and people in his family that had worked at Seidel over the years. You know, it's been there 179 years, you know,
Wow.
He said, oh, I know them. I said, you go and you meet with the owner. And when you see that my shipment has been shipped, it's on the gone, it's boxed, they got a tracking number, and it's on the truck, then you hand him the money. And he did that. And this worked for a year, maybe 18 months. No problems. Now I got my shipments fast. Right when they got the shipment out the door, they got their money. Everything worked. And suddenly, in 2004, I get a phone call from Lars. He said, John, I'm so sorry. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I went and gave them the money because they showed me the shipping labels and the box is all completed and it's sitting on the shipping table. The truck just hadn't picked it up yet, and the German government came and chained up their door and they're bankrupt. They
Oh
closed them out of
no.
business." And I said, "Oh no." And I immediately bought an airplane ticket over there because that's $5,000. It was only 5,000, but that's still at that time,
That's a lot of money.
$5,000 is too much to lose, right?
Sure.
So I got over there and they had such a low price. I won't say on the air here, but it was a low
Sure.
price that I could afford the factory. I could buy it. And a financial advisor that I am very, very grateful to said, "John, you do not want a business in Germany. They have so much bureaucratic red tape. They don't welcome Americans there. How many American-owned businesses have you ever seen in Germany?" I've been going to Germany for years. I've never seen an American company over there with a presence in Germany. And it's all German companies. He said, "Yeah." I said, "You're right." He says, "That's because if you bought that factory, they'll come in the next week, their version of the EPA, and say that there's toxic waste from World War II there. You got to go ahead and close your building and demolish everything." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Don't do it." I said, "But that's my main business, is this harmonica. And what am I
Sure.
going to do?" He says, "Well, you've got to secure your supply some other way. You can't." I said, "I'm going to have to find investors." So I made a phone call to a guy in the United Kingdom that was a good friend, but a German that lived in the United Kingdom. I said, "Hartmut, how can I save this company? Do you want to buy it?" And he said, "Well, I wouldn't mind being part of it, but I've got a wealthy friend in Germany that would probably be interested. Meet me at his house in Stuttgart." So they gave me the address. He flew in. We all three met together at this guy's castle that overlooks, he's a billionaire, more than $1 billion. The guy is very successful.
My goodness.
And we met him. I won't give his name.
Sure.
But we went in his Mercedes and drove all the way across the country from Stuttgart to Klingenthal. And we talked all the way there. I told him everything I just told you about the company and how we had this going. And he got there, looked at all the assets. The German government, by the way, showed up to meet us, to walk us through the factory. And when they did, and I was on the ground floor, there's three floors, I unlocked the window where the shipping room was. And so then that night at 4 in the morning, I went and stole my harmonicas out of there and shipped them back to America.
Oh my.
But anyhow, the deal is I got my harmonicas out of there, and that was the reason I went, too. But then I needed to, so I was talking all this grand talk all the way from Stuttgart to Klingenthal about how I could be their US distributor and I know how to sell harmonicas. And I was so excited because we're going to save the supply. And now we could have some money to bring out more models. And oh man, I just was in second heaven, all excited. And we got there, and the rich guy didn't realize that I spoke some German. I speak enough German. I can understand it, and I'm conversational speaking it, but I can understand more than I can speak.
Sure.
And he turned to Hartman, my friend Hartman, and the rich guy says, "Well, he says, I'll take the, did I mention?" He said, "I'll take the bit." The minute they showed him the business, he said, "I'll take it." And he had the money on him to buy that whole place.
Wow.
And he secured that deal with the government, bought the business, and we're sitting at a pub next door. And he turns to Hartman, and in German, he said, "What do we need this guy for?" Talking about me. And it was such a, at that point, I was so upset with that because I didn't put the money in. So he is the
Right.
boss. He's the
Yeah.
boss. I brought them the deal. But
It
so
still was a
this,
big slap in the face.
it was a real big slap in the face. And so I said to him, I said, he said, who can we have run it? This is, I need to back up. Before he said, what do we need this guy for? He said, who can we have run it? And I said, well, I'm definitely going to stay in America. You know, I've got a family, a wife and kids and everything. I'm staying in America, but I have the perfect guy to run this. And I introduced him to Lars. And Lars is still, to this day, the man in charge at Sidell.
Is he really?
And he was my banker. And I called Lars in, and Lars met him. And, of course, they became instant friends, the rich guy and Lars. And that was a wonderful relationship that's still going today. And Lars and I are still friends. You know, it's not Lars's fault that the guy didn't want anything to do with me. And so they immediately, on my Soul's Voice harmonica, they jacked the price about double what I was paying for it. And they treated me just like any store here that buys five harmonicas. You know, I can buy thousands of harmonicas. They priced me the same as if I'm buying five harmonicas, you know. And
man,
I they don't let their stores make a good margin even today. They don't. By the time I would pay for all of the expense to get it here, it was not feasible anymore to carry it.
Sure.
So I lost the harmonica. I lost the deal. And that was my experience with the Soul's Voice, and that's the reason we lost the harmonica. Is the new ownership refused to supply us at
so
a competitive price.
Obviously, you found another place, another way to manufacture the harmonicas called the Delta Frost.
Right.
This was a line that you launched at Spa in Dallas that year.
Yeah.
What was the major difference in that generation, John? Because you noted that it had immediate success.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's where we went to the phosphor bronze reeds. The Germans were still using, at that time, brass. Now they're all proud of their stainless steel, which isn't an improvement, in my opinion, over the Hohner's brass and our phosphor bronze. But they say it is, so that's good for them. Anyhow, the Delta Frost was just made with a traditional marine band look, just more comfortable with rounded corners and all that. And it played great and held up great. And it became a workhorse for gigging musicians. We sell that to so many guys that are in and out of blues bars playing harmonica, and they're hard on them. And that harmonica holds up very well. And, We started off that first generation of those went from 2003 until about 2011. And then in 2011, I had a similar, which I won't go through that story, but just a similar situation where the factory was really mistreating us. And I tried to find other factories. And there was a while there from 2011 until 2019 where we kind of, lost our way on the, it just wasn't the quality I felt like it, that we had in the early days. And then in 2019, that's when really the factories in China just really got their act together. The quality over there is phenomenal. The world leaders in harmonica quality right now and has been for the last 8 years at least, seven or 8 years is China. They're using lasers in ways that we've never used before. So they're getting very, very tight tolerances in harmonica. That what that means to you is they're going to respond easier and better. You don't have to blow your lungs out to play the thing. And
I'm not going to name the musician. Okay, because if I did, it might cause problems. This is a very well-known musician. I picked up a couple of years ago, I picked up a guitar that was a little Chinese model, and I can't remember if it's out in the dining room. There was a fundraiser over in Grand Rapids and at the West Michigan Blues Society. And I was the guy that made the bid. I thought, well, let's raise some money. So I bid $250 for this guitar and this amp. Nobody bid after that. So that was the year they had Matthias Latine and his band there. They had Citizen Jones there playing as well. I had all of them sign it. I've done some Women in the Blues showcase stuff, so I had all of them sign it. And I've had several other musicians, including this one, sign it. And I accidentally left it at their home. And I called up and they said, yeah, you're looking for your guitar, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, it's here. Can you wait until Monday to have it picked up? Because I live down here. They live up there. And I said, well, sure. Why? Because they were having a blast playing it. And they made the same comment about, despite the fact it's Chinese, it's very light. The neck is real responsive. The action was good. I mean, they were just bragging it all up and blown away that this guitar was like $240, okay, versus a $2,000-$4,000 Gibson or you know, one of the Heritage or whatever. That they really enjoyed playing this piece, and they made the same comment that they were impressed at the build quality of it. And I think that, like you said, it's like they kind of got their act together.
Yeah.
The one thing that I noticed with the Delta Frost as I was reading on those, it's still available today, but you offer it in three variations. Okay, you've got plastic combs, wood combs, and aluminum. I'd like to get an idea, what is the sound quality difference between those? I mean, is it noticeable? Is it price? What is it that makes those something that you would want to have?
Right. To a non-harmonica player, there's very, very little difference. But to people that live, breathe, and eat and sleep harmonicas, there's a night and day difference. The plastic is the most comfortable. And I'm a big fan of the plastic comb, and that's what I like in all of these harmonicas. And that our roundhouse is my favorite for that reason. It's got such a comfortable plastic comb. The Delta Frost, so we call that our original because that's what we came out with first, was the plastic comb. Well, you've got a whole legion, just a huge percentage of harmonica players that have to have that wooden comb, that mellow, we call that a mellow tone, a warm tone. With the wooden comb, you get a mellow, warm tone that we associate with the old Hohner Marine Band.
Okay. That's been,
most of the guys your age and my age now grew up playing Hohner Marine Bands. That's the number one harmonica from our youth.
Right.
And then Hohner then came out with a plastic comb version of that called the Special 20. And the Special 20 for the last 50 years has been the number one selling harmonica in the world, I'm sure. I'm sure of that. They've done really well with the Special 20, which is a marine band with a plastic comb. Then the steel comb, the aluminum comb, that is loud. If you want to project and have a big sound, that's going to be your harmonica, is the steel comb.
Okay.
So that's our steely. The wood comb is our woody, the Delta Frost woody, Delta Frost steely, and the Delta Frost original is the plastic. The plastic comes in cheaper than those models, of course, and the plastic is almost always your biggest seller. And so we sell probably 10 to 1 originals over the others. You know, 10 to 1 over the woody, 10 to 1 over the steely. So, but yeah, there you go. That's
very cool. So I want to flip the page here because 2014 rolls around. You decided to sell the Blues Festival. And in 17, you made your move to your hometown in Marcellus, Michigan. What was the reason for that move? What caused you to make it?
Oh, man, relationship wise, I just, I found myself single, and I always felt in Indiana, I never felt at home. I grew up here in Marcellus, Michigan, this town where I live now, this house that I live in, that I'm sitting in right now when I'm talking to you. When I would walk by this house when I'm a little boy, it's right on the water and the lake that I would swim in. And the old people that lived here would let me swim here at their house, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I told my folks when I'm a kid that I want to live here in this house someday. And I came back and bought the house that I dreamt of as a kid.
How cool.
So Michigan, to me, there's no place like it on earth. As I've gotten older, I'm 62 now. As I've gotten older, I don't like the winters. And so
Amen to that, brother.
I go to Palmetto, Florida in the winter and spend as much time down there because I love a Florida winter. But when you talk about starting right now and going on till October, Michigan is king. And July in Michigan, I'll put that against anywhere in the world. And there's a crispness to the air in Michigan. The minute you come across that Indiana-Michigan line, something changes. And whatever that something is, I love. I love. So the answer to your question is I reached a point in my life where I just didn't have any ties. My boys were grown men, and I had no relationship, and all I wanted to do, it was obvious. It was obvious the minute I was free like that, I said, I'm going home. There was no,
very cool.
I didn't question the decision. I didn't sit and analyze it. The minute that girl walked out the door, I did too. She stayed in Indiana and I went to Michigan.
Man. So in March of 2020, you hit the same brick wall that we all had to look at with the COVID pandemic. And as it unfolded, it just, everybody knows what happened. I was intrigued to read that you didn't just shut down and wait out everything that was happening, did you?
No.
I need to hear this.
You really
story
want to hear this story?
Because it really changed the way you viewed your company, didn't it?
It changed everything.
The floor's yours,
so,
man.
So, well, I just was real humbled by that. When the governor of Michigan said, if you own a non-essential business, if you're part of a non-essential business, you have to stay home. Those were her words. And I'm thinking, what in the world, what person would wake up one day and say, I want to start a non-essential business? We all should think our businesses are essential, right? That would be a really kind of a meaningless life to do something that's not essential. And then I got to thinking, well, you don't need a harmonica to live. I guess that is non-essential. And in itself, it's not food and it's not water, right?
Right.
So I guess it's in some ways, and then I started thinking about the essentiality, if that's a word, the essentialness of our company. Are we essential right now? If the in I was this was 2020 right now, if Bushman went out of business, thousands of harmonica players would be upset. But that's because I set out on this course. I said, right now, if something in March 2020, if something happened to Bushman, who would care? And I had to be honest. No one. My mom. Maybe my mom. That was a life-changing moment for me. And so I said, well, we got to change this. If all we're doing is offering another version of a Honer Special 20, which is our Delta Frost, that's all we had to, we're not needed. Honer's doing fine with that harmonica. You know, they don't need Bushman. And right now, frankly, if I'm being honest, no one's going to cry if Bushman is gone. I said, I've got to change that immediately. And that's where the first thing, you know, right out of the gate, we started offering harmonicas that solve problems. So that problem on the missing three I told you about, where so many melodies can't be played because there's a missing note on blow three on every Richter tune diatonic in the world. We came out with the blues shifter. We came out with the game changer.
Bring
go
your
ahead.
Camera. There you go. There you go.
All right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. We came up with the blues shifter. And that harmonica, now you just push the button and you have the missing note when you need it, you know. And then we came up with here last year. Oh, my goodness. We came up with a harmonica. So Seidel, isn't life, sometimes life is just, right? Isn't it, Jim? Sometimes there's justice.
Oh, yeah.
It's not always just. It's not always fair. But when it is, it's so fun. And Seidel, you know, we just have grown and grown over the years. And so I've answered the question now. Officially, I have answered the question, why do we need this guy? What do we need this guy for? He said. I can tell you the answer why they could have used me, because I'm good at coming out with harmonicas that solve problems and make harmonica players' lives better. There's the answer to your question, Mr. Rich Guy. All right. And but he had to learn it the hard way, because he was selling thousands and thousands of harmonicas to the Amish community. That they have a model called the Seidel. The Amish call it concerto. You and I would call it concerto. But
Okay.
I call it concerto because the people I deal with on it, that's what they call it. But anyhow, when I heard that they're playing the Seidel concerto, well, this harmonica is way too fat in your mouth, takes way too much air. You can't give them to the English people. If you said, hey, these are free, the English won't take them. That's how badly that thing plays. And so when I heard that, I said immediately, I'll come out with a double reed. I'll go to my factories and I'll have them make a double reed that plays easy, which we did. This thing, look, I'll tell you what. This Nitlinger is one of the coolest harmonicas ever invented in the history in 200 years. It's an accordion in your mouth, and it plays so easy. It's a joy. It's a joy to play. And so immediately they took their thousands of harmonicas that they were selling. We knocked them right out. Now the Nitlinger is the number one selling harmonica in the Amish community by far.
Wow.
Not even a close second is the concerto. It just annihilated it overnight. So Seidel got their answer to their question. What do we need this guy for? But we have had so much fun with the supplying harmonica players with harmonicas that you can't get anywhere else in the world. There's nothing close to this harmonica. It's a Nitlinger. No other factory has it. It's not like the factory makes it for us and then they make a version for them. They only make this for us. You want to know why? I take all they can make. I have a standing order. As many as you can make, you send me. And guess what? It's not
Wow.
enough. It's not enough. They were bragging about how many harmonicas they can make. I said, don't ever brag that if it's not true. All right. Only tell me what you really can make, because I'll take them all. And so they said this number that they think they can make. I said, I'll tell you what, double it, and that's how many I'll order of Nitlingers. So that's what we
Wow.
do. So
And it's still
right
not
now,
enough.
right now. And then our blue shifter, that one I told you about, let
Yeah.
me grab it real quick, okay? This harmonica. So the first version of this, we still sell all of them. It's called the Game Changer. The
Okay.
Game Changer. So this is a diatonic harmonica. It's not a chromatic. Normally, when you see this button,
Oh,
that's a
yeah, I
chromatic.
would think. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is diatonic. So what that means is it still bends and you can play the blue. It still bends. You can do all that, or you can do that. So what happens is, if you try to play a song like What a Friend We Have in Jesus, the Amish community loves that song, right? That's the wrong note. There's no note. So when it's a regular harmonica, that's the wrong note. Now you just go like this. You have all the notes. And so
Wow.
the deal is that right there, you give that to a good harmonica player, this opens up his world. Now he can play any song. It's this right here, right there. You're looking right there at the most versatile, capable harmonica in the world. That harmonica
Wow,
right
that's
there.
incredible.
So, and we're
Now
the only
I've
ones. We're the only ones with it. The blue shifter is only a Bushman. The Nitlinger, only Bushman. So right now, let's pretend that something happened and Bushman is done. There would be thousands of people around the world. Europe loves these harmonicas. We have a distributor there called Thomann that just is having great success with our harmonicas in Europe. Bushman right now, if it went out of business, it would leave a lot of harmonica players upset. And that's what COVID taught me. COVID taught me
John,
that.
you stated that becoming essential isn't a destination. It's a
Right.
relentless pursuit.
That's right.
Now, here you are, a solid 5 years outside of the pandemic. Where do you see yourself in that pursuit of becoming essential?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. We're living it right now. We just came out with, or excuse me, we're coming out with a harmonica that's going to again change the world. A 23-year-old boy that doesn't even understand music theory in Pennsylvania, a boy named Aaron, called me up and said, "John, if you could take that button and I could get these other chords, so I can actually play." What I now do is I have three harmonicas in my hand. And if I didn't have to hold three harmonicas and I could just push that button and get my other chords, the one chord, the four chord, and the five chord on one harmonica. One, four, five. Well, that's the blues as you're learning from Bob. Okay. One, four, five. So, and then he'll just be able to shift and get the other chords. Well, I said, let's try it. So we did it. And I sent it out to a few groups to try, and everyone loves it. This is a harmonica. So if you're a guy starting out in the blues and you don't understand the 1-4-5 yet, this harmonica lays it right there for you. Otherwise, without the button pressed, it's the regular harmonica. So if
Sure.
you don't learn the chord situation and how, you still have a great harmonica, but this harmonica will be 3-in-1. It does what it takes currently three harmonicas to do. It'll do it in one harmonica with the button. So we said 3-in-1. Well, 3-in-1 doesn't print on the cover plate very well. It doesn't look sexy. Okay. So we named it Trinity, the Trinity Harp, 3-in-1. And the Trinity Harp is coming out in about 30, maybe to 45 days, somewhere, month and a half.
Breaking news, look at that.
And yeah, it's announced here first. That's what, to answer your question, the relentless pursuit to become essential, I will stay on that path till the day I die. I will keep trying to bring harmonicas that solve problems and make harmonicas players' lives better. Because if some, when the day I die, I want it to be sad. I don't want, they talk about this celebration of life and everybody's playing the guy's
Right.
favorite music. No, I don't want any celebration. I want people to be saying, that was a nice guy. He helped me. I loved him. I want them to miss me, when I'm gone. And so the way I treat people, I'm going to be kind to people. I'm going to be building products that they need and want. And that they're thankful to have. And I'm trying to make the lives of harmonica players better. And so that they will miss me. That's it.
And clearly, John, you have earned the respect of dealers such as Rock and Ron's, Easy Reader, Music Villa of Bozeman, Montana, and Thomann that you referred to earlier in Europe. Firstly, does Music Villa still sell a boatload of your harps? Because
Every 10 days, I get a PO from them. Do you believe that?
I love the line about they sell so many harmonicas in a state with more grizzlies than people. Have you figured
Right.
that out yet?
No, it's a mystery. That store is so well run, though. The owner, Paul,
Wow.
does a great job. Gino, the manager, unbelievable. These guys are excellent retailers. And I don't know how Montana can sell that many, but like every 10 days, 2 weeks, it's not long. Every is so consistent. I get a PO from them.
That's cool.
I'm always surprised every time. I just got one a couple days ago, Monday. That's more than a couple days ago, but Monday I got a PO from them, and I'm still surprised every time one comes in. I'm like, wow.
Well,
Yeah.
John, I need to turn the page one more time.
All right.
Talk about some of the artists that are using your harmonicas today. Bobby Rush, for example, and others.
Yeah.
Here's your chance to brag, man.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to have to put it into groups
Okay.
because, and then I have to be a little careful. We have guys using our harmonicas that have endorsement deals with with Honer.
I
And so I'm
understand.
not supposed to use there, but I got to tell you, when they like a harmonica and they love it, and Hohner's got nothing to compete with the model I'm talking about. But I'll give you an example. That Nitlinger I just played for you,
Yes, sir.
Charlie Musselwhite loves that. He's bought every key. Now, these other companies, he can get harmonicas given to him by any harmonica company.
And he's a Seidel man, isn't he?
Well, he is. He's a Seidel man.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, he did a backflip when he played the Nitlinger. He said, you know, I've always liked the sound of a double reed, but they've never played well. And I said, I know, this one does. And I handed it to him. His face lit up. You know, Charlie's one of the, arguably, probably the premier harmonica blues man that's still alive.
Oh,
I would
yeah.
say he's definitely up at the top. I love
and what a
Charlie.
Great guy.
He's a
what a
wonderful,
great guy.
Nice person that
yes.
has been very gracious in all of his dealings with me. He has every key of the Nitlinger and loves it. Mickey Raphael of Willie Nelson's harmonica player since the 60s and 70s. Mickey Raphael loves the Nitlinger. Can't get anything like it anywhere else. So he bought all four keys, just like Charlie. Lots of players are like that, where they're great players that are, you know, this movie that won 16 Oscar nominations and won some, a good number of those was that movie. It was a violent, horrible movie, but it won a lot of stuff this summer. What was that?
Was that Sinners?
Yeah, Sinners. The
okay.
guy that wrote the score for that won. He won the Oscar for the music score. Any harmonica or harmonica sound that you hear in that movie was done by a guy named Ross Guerin. Ross Guerin
okay.
plays our Game Changer. He did that entire movie with our Game Changer.
Wow.
All right? So it's such an honor that Ross is out there doing that. And then, we have lots of great players. If you go to our website about us, you'll see
sure.
a lot of them. There, one of my favorite singers in the United States is a guy named a Christian singer named Adam Crabb, and Adam plays our harmonicas. And
is he the one with the Gaither Trio?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot though, but these young guys, we have three. I'm so excited. Four of them. I'm really excited about right now. Zachary McKinney, a guy named Micah McQuarrie. I got to get him added to the website. And this boy out of Israel named Zach Beckers. These are all guys that are out there on social media, just really hammering the Bushman harmonicas hard, putting them in front of people and playing them and showing them what they can do. And these are what I love about these relationships, Jim. And this is a big deal, is when you seek out a musician and you try to pay him or send him harmonicas to, you know, to do your, help you with your social media, right? That's one thing. But when these guys are playing your harmonicas and loving them, and then they reach out to you just letting you know, hey, I love your harmonicas, and it's completely organic, where I didn't pursue them. I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me. I love that. I love it when it's your customers. You know,
sure.
Jonathan Cain. Jonathan Cain from Journey plays has been playing our harmonicas for years, since 2000, and so 26 years, and he was a customer, and I never put the two together, Jonathan Cain and Jonathan Cain and Journey being the same guy, and finally I
oh,
got to
wow.
meet him, and then he took me, he would, every time they'd come to Indianapolis, I got to go backstage with him. It was just amazing. Ian Gillen of Deep Purple, same thing, played our harmonicas, and I got to meet him. And so those are all exciting things where your harmonicas are getting played by somebody famous, you know? But the, what I'm most excited about is these young guys like this Micah, Zachary, and Zach, again, Zach Beckers. Zach Beckers is one of the most prolific video reel I guess you call it, short videos, guy out there right now, Zach Beckers, Bekkers. He's on Instagram, TikTok, and he is a real devoted Bushman player.
Okay. I happened to catch the 5-minute video with an unboxing and first impressions by a guy that goes by Jake Knows Harmonica.
Yeah.
And he had a really good take on the Roundhouse. So clearly you got to be doing something right, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake, another relationship that happened organically.
Sure.
He really likes our harmonicas, and you know, he's got quite a following out there. I need to do more with social media. It's just hard to do everything that you need to do to run a business, but it's a handful. You know that.
Yeah. Well, last question. One of the most important questions, John, where can folks go to learn more about Bushman harmonicas, the history, of course, because you have a unique perspective on your business model based on lessons that you learned as a young man. I'd like to have you talk about that lesson as well. But we need your particulars so that those interested in taking the plunge and maybe making their first or an additional Bushman purchase can do so.
Yeah. Well, I have two things. The first thing is a phone number okay. That is really exciting right now.
And
is
he answers
hotline.
His own phone, guys.
Yeah, that's right. We have a hotline, which you can push a button to get to me on there. But we just launched it. And you can hear recordings. So far, it's all Amish people playing on there. But I hope some English people will leave a recording. The number is 269-587-2770. And that's our Bushman harmonica hotline. That's a good place to get all kinds of information. How to clean a harmonica. It's all recorded. You don't have to read anything. You can just listen, you know.
Nice.
And then our website, of course, I know that's a cliche answer to your question, but it really is true. Our website is really good. It's easy to navigate. I think you probably saw that.
Yes.
And it's at bushmanmusic.com, bushmanmusic.com. The about us is where you could learn the whole story about becoming essential. Our harmonicas are available though on Amazon.com, and we're selling even more on Amazon than we do on our website.
Wow.
So because people can get that one day prime delivery. So
yeah, they don't have the 7-key pack though. I've not found those. I've found just single harps out there.
Them.
I did see those.
Yeah, we're going to get those on there, and I need to add those to our website too. But any harmonica that we sell, you can buy in a 4, a 7, or a 12 key pack. I just got to get them on the internet, and we'll give you a discount for doing that. And then we throw in a nice case with it. So, I would say the website, Amazon, and the hotline, those are good. We're on Instagram, Bushman Music. We're on TikTok, Bushman Harmonicas on TikTok. So we're out there. We're trying. We're just, you know, we're just a company. We've just been at it for 30 years, and we need to do more on the advertising front for sure.
Well, hopefully we can help get the word out there. And John Hall, I greatly appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining me on Time Signatures. Hopefully we can stay in touch, and maybe one of these days I can swing by and check your operation out.
Well, you're always invited. You're always invited, Jim. This was fun.
That wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, John Hall, but also to you. For without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.